So this summer, I'm going to spend some time going through the book of Acts, and I love the book of Acts because it's, what do we do when Jesus isn't around? He flew up into heaven on that 40th day of on Ascension that day, and the people were like, what do we do now? And he says, well, I'm going to give you the Spirit. And we know that Peter before that was kind of wishy-washy. He wasn't as strong in his faith as Jesus needed him to be, but when he saw him rise in the heaven, he knew, and then the Spirit came over him. And all the people were in that room, and they were from all over the world, and they came to Jerusalem to worship that week and to celebrate Passover, and many of them would stay for 50 days. Who wants a 50-day holiday? I'll take one of those. You guys got one, right? It's coming up. I'll take one. I got 2 weeks coming up. Hallelujah. I can't wait. But they would come. They would just stay for Passover. They would join for Passover. They would just stay for Pentecost with friends. So Pentecost was 50 days later, and that's when they would celebrate the first fruit. The harvest is in. There's plenty to eat. The good times are rolling, right? So they come together and in a room. They don't really speak the same language, but then the Spirit comes upon them, and they do, and it's an amazing thing. Some people thought they were drunk. They're like, it's only 9 a.m. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? But then so they're coming together, and then they're staying there. They're staying there in Jerusalem. I always wonder, what do the disciples do then? Like, now what? So where do they go every day? They need to teach this story, right? They need to teach them what they saw about Jesus and this new kingdom of heaven. And so they go to the temple. Every day, they go back to that place where Jesus was thrown out of. They go in there every day teaching the people about Jesus. And one day they see a man, and he can't walk, and he hasn't walked for 40 years, and everyone knows him. And he comes every day to beg for alms, and people give him money. And then they say, he's begging them. He says, I don't have, and the disciples are broke, right? They got no money. They say, I don't have silver and gold. I got something better. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he does, doesn't he? Now he can throw away. What's he do? The first thing he throws away is his beggar's coat. They wore a coat that you knew was a begging coat. They would be sort of like a permit to beg. Not anyone could beg. You had to sort of prove yourself and that you needed it. And therefore he did. He throws away his coat. Just like Bartimaeus did there in Jericho. Remember? He threw his coat away because he didn't need it anymore because he could see. And so there's this excitement. Everyone gets to see him. So this is upsetting to the people in charge, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And they come. What are you doing? You're talking about Jesus? No, we come here to celebrate Yahweh. And we have a thing. You know, you pay your money here. Remember, pay your money. And then you give it here. And you're messing things up. We're going to ask you to be quiet. That's our solution. Would you guys mind not talking about Jesus anymore? And the disciples were like, no, it's not going to happen. We're going to talk about Jesus. That's what we talk about. You can't shut me up about Jesus, can you? I love talking about Jesus, and I'll talk anywhere about Jesus. Walmart, Costco, any liquor store I happen to be in. The one next to Bucks, what's that called? Johnston's. Three of us were talking about Jesus in there one day. You ever do, Fran, true story. We were engaged, and more people were coming. It was Rob from the church over there. What's his name? With Robin Biz. I forget his name. I don't like when I do that to myself. I did it to myself last week, remember? Guess what I did? And you'll never guess. You'll never guess. I got the lyrics of Jesus Christ Superstar. All right? And Oklahoma. So yes, I carry him around with me. And so if we start doing that, this Jesus Must Die, or that song by Yvonne Elliman when she sang Everything's All Right, that was a good one. Sarah Bareilles is pretty good, but Yvonne Elliman did a great job of Everything's All Right, Everything's Fine. And I do have a recipe for lentil soup in here. If I ever see Paula, you'll know, hearty lentil soup. If we do the story of Esau and Jacob, and then I got to give it to Jack and, gosh, help me out. Cindy, she wants the recipe. So if I see her, I could mail it. Emailing is not a possibility. We do things the old-fashioned way. So my spontaneity sometimes fails me. So here we see them, and what are they doing? They're so excited about Jesus, and they're seeing miracles. They're seeing wonders. They're seeing people lay him get up and walk, and there's like this great feeling, and they gladly received the word, and they were baptized, and they met together, and all believed And all that believed, they came together, and all things they had in common, they sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and a singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and they added to the church each and every day. They shared everything they had. This is where we're getting to. Selling everything you have and giving it to the church so the church can distribute to those people who need it. You all want to leave now? Stop there? No. We got to hear. He doesn't tell you to do that, does he? Is he telling you to do that? What's he telling you to do? So here we are. That's Acts 2. And once again, there's more amazing things happen as Peter and John go and face the Sanhedrin. They come back, and what do they still see here in Acts chapter 4? And all the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify as to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy people among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, and they brought the money from the sales, and they put it at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, who's a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, means son of the prophet, means son of consolation. He's a good guy. More on him later in the book of Acts. He sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. And everyone was like, wow. You know, we know some churches where we get a big bump from one person, right? Right, James? Remember that? That 3 million? That came in handy, didn't it? 3.1 million. Our troubles are over, right? That's all we need is money, and it's let the good times roll. Kim, you're shaking your head. Why are you shaking me off? Money fixes everything. Money's the answer. We got money. $3 million. I'm not here to criticize James, because it was something, wasn't it? Jen, it was something. I don't know your name. See, this is you. Come on up. Dane, come do this. Dane's gonna prepare. No spontaneity, right? You're gonna be. He is prepared. $3 million. We knew where it came from, and everybody wanted to name the fellowship hall after him, right? Get your name on something. Now you live forever, right? He was buried in Arlington. Wasn't that amazing? So here we talk a lot about money, and Luke talks about it many, many times, doesn't he? In Luke, he talks about the debtors. One owes 500, one owes 50, and they're both forgiven. Who is more appreciative? The guy who owes 50 or the guy who owns 500, right? We assume that he's the one who owes 500. We see the story of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan's the one that gives up his money, not the priest and not the Levite. We talk about the rich fool, and we hear about the shrewd steward, the one who forgave all those people that owed the boss money, so that then when he was fired by the boss, he got a good job. We hear about the 10 servants. Some were given 10 talents, and he doubled it. Some were given 5, and he doubled it. The one who was given 1 talent did nothing with it, right? So Luke talks about money a lot. We talk about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is where? He's in Hades, and he's suffering. He's thirsty, and Lazarus, the poor man, gets to go to heaven. So we see this divide between having money. If you got money, you're going to hell, right? No. No. You're not going to feel bad when you leave today, all right? I promise. I promise, Fran. You won't feel bad. You're going to feel hope, good and uplifted, right? Barb's like, you better uplift us today, right? Don't bring us down. Bring us up. Of course. So we talk about money in church, right? And money kind of rules our way. And let's see what happened after Barnabas, right? He cheerfully sold a field and he gave it all away. And what was his prestige in the church? Wow, everyone look at what Barnabas did. He gave all this money. Maybe we'll do that too. Let's try it. So here we are in Acts chapter 5. We see Ananias and Sapphira, a couple, a married couple living in Jerusalem. They think, this is pretty neat. We'll get some recognition by this new church. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, they also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, and he brought the rest, and he put it at the apostles' feet. What a good guy. He sold his field. He sold his house, bringing all the money, but just keeping some back, because money is security, isn't it? Security is something we want. We want to have a little nest egg set aside, and that's a good thing. I got a lot to clear up, don't I, before I leave you all thinking. Then Peter said, and Peter's like, they've seen what Peter does in the name of Jesus, you know, all the miracles and the raising people, getting them up, healing the blind and healing the lame. And he comes before Peter. He's in charge. He's the boss. Everyone knows he's the one who walked with Jesus, and he's the authority. And it says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you've kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've lied not just to humans, but you have lied to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. He kept back. See, back in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, we see a man named Achan. And God says, you're going to go into a city and you're not going to take anything from it. This is when God, they lived for 400 years as slaves. You've heard the story, right? In the Ten Commandments with that guy, Charlton Heston, did it, right? And they go through the Red Sea and they go through the desert. They go to the mountain. They get the law. And then it's time to go into the promised land and take the land that I swore I would give you. You're going to be my people. And they go into the land, but they have to clear it out, don't they? Because there's a pagan people. And they've been given how long to change their mind about who they're going to worship? 400 years they've been given to turn back to God. And they don't do it. So God sends in his judgment, which is the Israelite people. And they come in. And when they get to a city, you're going to destroy the city. And don't take anything with you. No spoils of war. We saw that there in Book of Samuel too, right? Where they destroy the Amalekites, but they keep back a little. They keep the king alive. And God takes his favor away from King Saul. So there's something to be said. He said, we're going to go into that town and we're going to destroy it. But a man named Achan, he sees some silver and some gold and some nice fine rugs and he keeps them, right? So they go into battle the next day and they lose. Well, they haven't lost yet. They're undefeated. They're like the Eagles. They're world champs. They go in there and they win. But they lose in the battle of Ai. They lose. How can we possibly lose? God's on our side. Someone cheated. Someone held back. Let's draw lots. Let's find out who it is. They ask around and they find out that it was Achan. They look in his tent. Underneath his tent is buried all the gold and silver and the fine things. And what is the judgment for them? What's the penalty to be paid for disobeying God? He and his whole family lose their lives. They held back from God, and they were struck down. This story makes you sad already, doesn't it? It gets, well, wait, hang on, it gets worse. And a great fear seized all that saw what had happened. Then some young men came forward and they wrapped up his body and they carried him out and they buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife comes in. She's not knowing what's happened. You can picture the scene, can't you? We see Ananias coming in. He's all happy. Look at the praise I'm going to get. I gave you everything. I give you everything to help the people and I give everything to God. And Peter says, no, it isn't. You didn't give it all. It was okay. You didn't have to, right? That's what he says. You didn't have to give it all. He didn't want it all. You just give a portion and that'll help out. You keep the rest because you know you got to live too. It's reality, isn't it? So she comes bebopping in and none the wiser. And Peter asked, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? She says, yes. And she lies too. She wants to hear the cheers and the recognition for what she's done. Peter said, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? You've all felt it when it came upon you. Remember that day in Pentecost when the Spirit of the Lord came upon you and you could talk and you could hear each other? What a great day. The kingdom of heaven is coming. People are walking. The deaf can hear. The mute can speak. The dead have been raised. 5,000 have been fed. How can you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen up, lady. The feet of the men who buried your husband are standing outside the door. Is this your final answer? Look under the door. The doors probably weren't airtight like ours, right? You could see the feet of the men standing outside the door, waiting to take the next one out. At that moment, she fell down and she died. The young men came in. They took her out and buried her next to her husband. Then a great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. What do you think? It wasn't about giving, was it? It was about your heart and where it is. You know, the Bible, it doesn't paint this beautiful picture for us, does it? It's not this broad brush of, isn't it just great? Isn't everything just peachy? Follow Jesus and things will be peachy. It's hard. What does Jesus say? He says, take up your cross. Follow me. Is a cross comfortable? Take that up. That's what you got to carry, a cross. You know where it ends, not where you want to be. You see, like Achan and like King Saul and like Ananias and Pharisees, do we hold back? Sin is sin. We don't like to say these words. We don't like the words repentance. We don't want to hear these words in this secular culture. But sin is sin against God. Failure in doing the best you can do is sin against God. Failure to use your talents for the kingdom of heaven is a sin. Failure to tell the truth is a sin against God. The commentator says, when we slip into falsehood, it is sin against the Spirit that God has laid in our hearts. Jesus says there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he says this to them. This is where they knew all this. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, there will be no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets to be honored by others do. I tell you, they've received their reward. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may be giving in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We were sitting in a meeting once at church, and we were talking about money. And, you know, if you give 10% or if you give this amount of money, you'll be given back tenfold. So somebody said, well, they looked at the budget that the church was giving, and we weren't giving 10% away. They said, see, we're not being blessed. We're not giving away 10%. And then you got to turn around. You know what you have to do when you're sitting in a board meeting and say, why doesn't the church give away 10% of its revenue? Is take that mirror, hold it in front of your face and say, why didn't I give 10%? I haven't given 10% yet. Jacob said, give 10%. Is that the rule? What does he want you to give? Generously, cheerfully. When we were raising two kids, there wasn't a lot to bring to the church, right, Kim and Rob? We gave a little, but we gave our time, right? We'll do the time thing because that's what we do. We'll teach a Sunday school. We'll cook in the kitchen, right, Amanda? That's what we used to do when we didn't have money. When you pray, he says, don't be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into the room, you say the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, which we've already said. I like the word hypocrites because we don't know what it means. We think we do, don't we? When I was young, people would call, my stepfather would smoke, and he smoked a lot. He smoked Pall Malls with the unfiltered ones, you know, like the full-size ones. And those were bad for you, you know, it'd end up killing him, and he would smoke. And he would always tell us not to smoke. So is he a hypocrite? And that's what we call a hypocrite. But did he believe that smoking was bad for you? Yes. So guess who's not a hypocrite anymore? He knew it was bad for him. He did it anyway. That's an addiction. That's not being hypocritical. Hypocritical, the word is, it's like an actor. You see, we like to use words we don't know, like inclusion. We try to use that word out in the real world. I'm inclusive as long as you agree with me. A hypocrite, they put on a mask. It's not who they are. My stepfather was who he was. He knew that that would be bad. Don't ever smoke. So I chewed tobacco and said, and he didn't like that because the first time I did it, I got sick at the Fairhill races and everyone rushed home to tell him as fast as they could. Sean got sick. He threw up everywhere. And guess what I did the next day? Like a fool returns to his folly, like a dog returns to his vomit. Thanks. See, he was bobbing his head. He knew I was wrong. Like a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. And 21 years later, I broke that addiction. Easy to do, right, Keith? Aren't they just a snap of the fingers? 21 years and kicked it. And I've been tobacco-free since, I don't know, 18 years or something. God bless those who help with addictions. Let's close in saying this. God wants us to give cheerfully. This church has been blessed over and over so many times. You come to the board meeting, we've got money here. That's a good thing. But what can we do if more was given with a cheerful heart? The more you give, it just goes right out back onto the street, right? On August 11th, we got a chance to prove our love to our fellow community by going down to the what's it called again? Paris Foundation. I can't remember the name because you don't tell me enough, because we don't tell the left hand what the right hand is doing, but you know, yes, we do. So we'll be down there and we'll be feeding the homeless. People in Elkton can't feed themselves, and this church helps with that. So when you give, that's where it goes, and it goes to where, whenever we see a need in this community or in the world, that this church will give. So that's what you do. You give willingly, give freely. We don't give to please others, to please man, to impress others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every good gift comes from you. We pray that we get to enjoy the gifts that you've given us because you've blessed us beyond all measure. We have more than we need. We don't need higher walls. We need longer tables. Please give us hearts to share, hearts to care for those we don't even know their names. To give to friends in New Zealand or friends in Kenya, friends in Elkton who need something. We've got friends in Charlestown with not enough to eat. So we pray humbly that we be a good steward to bless others each and every day as you bless us, as we go in peace, as we go in love today, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. It's in whose name we pray. Amen.